Well, this morning we are continuing in the series of messages on the parables. We know that when Jesus was teaching the parables, that many times he was teaching about the millennial kingdom, or else he was teaching about the eternal kingdom. Sometimes he would teach only about the millennial kingdom, which is 1,000 years. And sometimes he would teach only about the eternal kingdom, which is for an eternity. Sometimes he would bring a combination of those two, and he would have an emphasis on one versus the emphasis on another. In this particular parable, we see that this is actually speaking regarding the physical realm versus the spiritual realm. So when we look at this parable, physical realm versus the spiritual realm, we can see that this is basically talking about how we live our lives. And how we live our lives is speaking more of the millennial kingdom than it is the eternal kingdom. Now, this is not talking about salvation as much as it is talking about the disciplines that we apply in our lives being a Christian. Okay? So, when we look at this particular parable, we know that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples regarding the end times. Because if they truly understand the signs of the times, it will change the way they live their lives. So as we see the signs of the times, the end of the age, it should affect our lives somewhat the same, so that we can see the disciplines that God is trying to bring into our lives, so that we can live our lives pleasing to Him. Now, it's not talking about pleasing God so that we can be saved, okay? I want that to be clear. It's not about trying to earn your way to heaven. It's all about God working in us and through us to build His kingdom. So today, as we look at this parable, we need to see that Jesus was just finishing teaching the signs of the times to his disciples, and then he began to teach them this parable of the leaven. Now, in other gospels, you will see that he actually said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman hid in 3 measures of meal, and it leavened the whole lump. That's not this parable. This parable is talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. So, as we look at this, look with me please in Matthew the 16th chapter, and we're going to read 5 through 12 this morning, and then we're going to go back and look at a few things. So I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he had said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you have brought us into your presence and that we have been able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for each one that has come today. We pray that our hearts might be open to receive this message, that we too might understand the importance of living our lives being disciplined by your word, your precious word of God, and that we are not disciplined by the doctrine of man. Father God, we thank you for that. We pray that we might see the difference between the physical and the spiritual realm. And Father, as Jesus was speaking merely of the spiritual realm and how it affects the way they live their lives, help us to understand that today. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is teaching the parables, and many times we think of a parable of a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's really not the case here. Jesus was actually trying to warn them of the doctrines of man and what man has brought to this relationship, what man has instituted as being right, as being religious, as being righteous. And so many times they would practice that. Well, we need to see, first of all, the warning. The warning that Jesus is bringing to them. Look with me, please, at verse 6 once again. Then Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." He was talking, first of all, about the religious Pharisees. He was telling them to beware of their traditionalism. They live their lives according to traditionalism, according to the traditions that their great-grandfathers and great-great-great-grandfathers and great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers had established. Tradition is so important. Why is it this church doesn't sing the doxology? How many know the doxology? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The doxology. Amen. Amen. How is it we don't do the pledges? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's a great pledge. Why do we not pledge allegiance to the Christian flag? I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and in love. Why is it we don't pledge allegiance to our Bible? I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and hide its words in my heart that I may not sin against God. Wonderful, wonderful pledges. Every Sunday at Pocahontas, we would sing the doxology, we would pledge allegiance to the flag, pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, pledge allegiance to the Bible, and then we would recite the Lord's Prayer. Every single Sunday. Now, be truthful. Some of you did not know the words to the Christian flag. Amen? Amen. Some of you did not know the words to the Bible. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Now, if you were a visitor, not necessarily being raised in church, but just coming in out of the street and just being a part, do you think that'd make you feel warm and fuzzy and feel welcome? No. It would probably ostracize you. Amen? And see, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Many times the traditions of men ostracize others. It ostracizes them and lets them know that they're not yet a part of this group of people because they don't adhere to the same doctrines or traditions. Why do we take up an offering? Have you ever noticed our worship service? We sing a song, then Roland gets up and shares some announcements. Amen. Then we sing a few more songs. We take up an offering. We sing one more song. And then the pastor gets up and bumps his gums together for about 45 minutes. Then we all go home and have lunch. Amen? We do that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Why? I don't know. Why don't we take up an offering at the very first and just pass the plate? Or why do we even take up an offering? Why don't we just put some baskets back by the doors and people can put their money in as they come in and put money in as they go out? Did you know that's what they do? In the Jewish tradition, they just have baskets back there and they put their tithe in there. Why is it that we get stuck into a routine and we just stay there? What would happen if we did change the song or the worship service at Eastview? Why, it would throw everybody for a tizzy. Amen? Open up your bulletin for me, if you would, please. I don't even have mine. But that's okay. On the inside of the left side of the bulletin there, you'll find that information. It never changes. In the middle, that information never changes either. And on the right side, well, that information never changes either. Well, I'll be. Only the sermon outline changes and the announcements. And sometimes the picture on the front. We get stuck in tradition. Not that all traditions are bad. Some traditions are very good. But as far as our relationship and using a tradition to enhance our relationship with Almighty God, that's what Jesus was warning them about. He said, I don't want you to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees are locked in tradition. They're always wanting to do the same thing the same way. Why is that? I heard a story, some of you probably heard it as well, about a mom who was always cutting the end of her roast off. Yeah, okay. And the daughter asked mom, why do you cut the end of the roast off? And she goes, well, I guess it's because you want to make it taste better or something, I guess. Mom always did it. Your grandmother always used to do it. And so they called grandmother and said, you know, why is it we cut the end of the roast off? Is it to make it better? Is it to let it absorb all the juices better? Why do we cut the end of the roast off? And grandmother said, oh, dear, you're being silly now. She says, the only reason why we cut the end of the roast off is because the oven roaster was too small. We cut the end of the roast off so it would fit. It's the only reason why we cut the end of the roast off. Sometimes our traditions get in the way of our relationship. And that's why Jesus was trying to teach them, beware of the leaven. Beware of the sin. Beware of that tradition that does not lead you into a closer relationship with Almighty God. But notice also he was talking about the rejected Sadducees. The rejected Sadducees, they were skeptics. They believed only in the natural. They really had a hard time believing in the supernatural. And that's why they were sad, because they did not believe in the resurrection. That was a supernatural event, and they did not believe in it. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. And so they were sad. That's why they called them Sadducees. No, not really. Anyway, they did not believe in the resurrection or spirits or angels. And that's why they were skeptical all the time. Whenever someone would mention or say something of the supernatural realm, they were skeptical of that, and they were skeptics. That's why in Luke chapter 20, verse 27, it says, chapter 20, if I can get there myself. Verse 27, then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying. So they denied the resurrection. They denied that there were spirits. Notice what it says in Acts 23, verse 8. It says, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. The Sadducees didn't believe in any of those supernatural events. And because of that, it hindered their relationship that they would have with Almighty God. We also see the religious church. Now, I want you to know there are some good churches. There are some real good churches in Christendom. There are some good churches that exercise good doctrine. They have great people that are Christian, and they're out there working and serving the church in the community, witnessing to the glory of God that God has blessed them with in their individual lives. There are some really good churches out there. But at the same mark, there are some poor churches out there. There are some churches that really don't want to grow. And that may amaze you, or you may think that I'm making things up. I'm not. When I was pastoring at First Baptist Appleton City, the organist was one of the former pastor's daughters. She happened to marry a local guy, and they lived right across the street from the church, right next to the parsonage. Well, her mother played the piano. And Dad, who was the pastor for many years, his name was Frank. And so he was pastoring a small church out in the country in Appleton City. And First Baptist Appleton City was one of the larger churches in the town. They had a Lutheran church, a Christian church. They also had a Catholic church. There were many churches in that small, small town. And so I asked Brother Frank one time, we were doing an area crusade, and all the pastors got together and decided that we'd have a tent revival downtown in the park. And I asked Brother Frank if he'd like to participate in that, and he goes, oh, no, 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 no. I said, well, why not? He says, well, my church wouldn't want me to do that. It's like, what? I said, well, would you like to have me come sometime and I'll do a revival at your church? He goes, oh, no, they wouldn't want that. It's like, why not? I mean, I don't preach a heresy. He goes, oh, no, no, that if you come and preach, there'd probably be some new people coming. They wouldn't like that at all. What? He says, you know, the only reason why they got me there is because they know that no one else will come to hear me speak except that family. And there are three basic families that go to that church. And that's all they want. It's a family affair. They have intermarried for so many years. They have three families in that church, and they just want that, and that's all. They don't want any newcomers, because newcomers tend to rock the boat. They'll want to do some things like maybe go visit people in the community. Don't want that. We just want to have our church. There are churches like that. I'm thankful that this is not one of them. Well, secondly, we need to see not only the warning, but we need to see the worry. And the worry began with the confusion. Look with me at verse 7, please. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." They actually thought, when Jesus was talking to them, that the reason why he was talking to them is because they forgot to bring their lunch with them. They forgot to bring bread. And so there was some confusion amongst the disciples. They actually thought that Jesus was talking to them because they had forgotten their lunch. Wow. There's the physical realm. And Jesus is talking to them about the spiritual realm. Remember what John 8:32 says? Says, "And we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free." Now, a lot of times, people think the truth is a concept, which is opposite falsehood. So if you're going to say something truthful or full of truth, it's the opposite of lying. No. The truth is the person of Jesus Christ. It's not a concept. And when you're speaking truthful, you're speaking of the personification of the one that lives within you, Jesus Christ, who indwells us through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says. So when we are speaking truthful, it's because of the personification of Christ within us. He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." He also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Truth is not a concept. It is the person of Jesus Christ. That's the difference between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Notice also the concern in verse 8. "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Why is it you are only seeing the natural realm? Why is it you are only seeing the physical realm? Why can you not also see the spiritual realm? Oh, ye of little faith." Many times, when good things happen to us, we try to look at what it was we did that God blessed. Amen? That's what we do. When something good happens to us, we look at what we've been doing, and we see what we've been doing, and God blessed this, and so what we try to do is we try to mimic that again and try to repeat that again and again and again. And it's not because of the things we do. No, he blesses us because that's his nature. He is the one that is good. He is the one that is great. He is the one that is worthy. And so he blesses us. When things go bad, many times we look upon it as, "What did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me?" And you know, to a certain degree, if we have been walking in the world, yeah, you're going to have the result of that. It's a natural consequence. But the concern was this. Many times, we see Jesus rebuking his disciples. Oh, ye of little faith. What would Jesus say to us? Oh, ye of little faith. Can you not see what I'm doing in your midst? Can you not sense my presence? Can you not see my hand at work in your family, in your work, in your community? Can you not see me at work? We have little faith. Well, we also need to see the clarity. Look with me at verse 10, 9 and 10. He says, do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. He says, I just want to remind you. You saw a physical need, but I filled it spiritually. I filled that need, even though it was in the physical realm. I fed 5,000 people and you took up 12 basketfuls. Do you not remember that? I fed 4,000 and you took up 7 basketfuls. Do you not remember that? I just want to clarify this for you. And that's what Jesus was doing. He says, I want you to understand the difference between the physical realm and the spiritual realm, between that which is natural and that which is supernatural. Then we see the wrong interpretation. Look with me at verse 11, please. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, the physical? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the spiritual. We see the misunderstanding. How they were misunderstanding and thought that he was talking to them regarding the absence of their lunch. How they had forgot their bread, forgot what they were going to eat for lunch. And now he's talking to them about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're misunderstanding that. All along, God is working in their lives. And they see it as something physical rather than something spiritual. There was a little old lady that every morning she would go out on her front porch. She would pray and do her devotion there and drink her coffee, and she would speak to God there. And she would have a tremendous relationship with God, and many times it started right there in the morning on her front porch. Next door was an atheist, and he'd kind of watch her from time to time and notice what she was doing, and when she would pray, he'd kind of scoff at her a little bit. Well, one morning she was praying, and she'd been praying this same prayer, and many times she would pray out loud, and the atheist would hear what she's saying, and she says, Lord, you know that my cupboards are getting bare, and I don't have much in my refrigerator anymore, and the freezer's empty. I just don't have hardly any food anymore, Lord. God, I just pray that you'll meet my need. And she kept praying this prayer and praying this prayer and praying this prayer. Day after day after day, and the atheist heard her, and he thought, I'm going to pull a good one on her. So he goes down to the store and he gets 3 or 4 bags of groceries and he pays for them and he takes them up and puts them on her porch and then knocks on the door and runs away and hides in the bushes. And she comes out and she's just elated. Oh God, thank you so much for meeting my needs. I have all of my needs met. And the atheist jumps out and says, God didn't meet those needs, I did. I paid for every one of those cans that are in those sacks. And she said, praise God, you've met every one of my needs and you even got the devil to pay for it. Amen. That's the message. Look with me at verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That God will meet every one of our needs according to his glory. He will take care of those physical needs that we have. The needs of clothing, the need of food, the need of shelter, the need of comfort. He will take care of every one of those needs. And many times we worry and struggle with what God is or is not doing in our lives. But he'll also not only take care of our physical needs, he will take care of our spiritual needs. He will be your Savior. He will be your defender. He will be your deliverer. He will be the one that protects you. He will be the one that provides for you. That's what his desire is for each and every one of our lives, whether it's a physical need or a spiritual need. And then he'll also take care of our emotional needs. When we have grief in our life, he'll comfort us. When we have a void in our life, he will fill that void with his presence, with his power, and most of all, with his peace. He fulfills that emotional need in our lives. I believe today that if we're going to understand God's provisions and blessings, we need to live close to him. And as we live close to him, we will then begin to understand his will and the way for our lives. That's what his desire is for us today. To know that he is going to provide, to know that he is going to protect, that he's going to defend, that he's going to nurture us, that he's going to comfort us. And he wants to do that for us because he wants what is best. Because he gave his best for us when he died on the cross of Calvary. That we would have eternal life through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Today we're going to have a song of invitation. This is your invitation to come to him. Maybe you've never received him as your Savior and Lord. Maybe there's a need that you have in your life, or maybe there's someone that you know that has a need in their life and you just like to pray for them. You can come today and we can have a time of prayer, a season of prayer on their behalf. Let's all stand.
Nearer, blessed.
encourage you all to come back tonight. Larry Rhodes from the Illinois Baptist State Association is going to be here with us tonight. He's going to be sharing some of the things that that is being done through our Illinois Missions offering. As we give to this Illinois Missions offering, every dollar that we give stays right here in Illinois, and it goes to furthering the gospel through the churches and building new churches and new mission work that's going on throughout the state of Illinois. So I know you'll want to be a part of that. You come and be a part tonight, and I know that you'll be blessed by what Larry is able to share with us, okay?